You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Emireth Herrera. Emireth, thanks so much for being with me today.
Oh, hi, and thank you for inviting me.
So I know you're in New York now. Tell me a little bit about what you're doing. You're going to school, is that correct?
Yes. So I just started a master program at the Institute of Fine Arts from New York University, and I started this fall 2018, so I'll be here for at least 2 years.
And this is a curatorial program?
Well, yes and no, because it's like art history and archaeology, but my focus is in Latin America and curatorial studies.
So it's curatorial studies, but also with a focus in Latin America. And and so tell me a little bit about projects you're currently involved in. Are there other curatorial projects you're working on at the moment?
Yes, so right now I'm curating a show at Flux Factory and at the Museum of Queens. It's called The Step. I'm curating it with Christina Freeman and Moira Williams. And also I have a personal project. The name is From the Vulnerable Territory to the Utopia. And it's a series of workshops that explore a collective imaginary from the vulnerable territory to what could be transformed into a utopian city. So in this series of workshops, I invite people to reflect about their personal experiences and then to talk about strategies and to think about collaboration, sustainability, self-empowerment, and other essential elements that they could think that could make a strong and a utopian city. So the first workshop I offered it in Denmark this summer. And for me, it was very interesting to see how people over there could think of a vulnerable territory, you know, because this is a very developed country and they have all their basic needs covered. But on the other hand, even though it looks like a perfect bubble, they have other issues that make them vulnerable. So it was interesting to see what they were expecting to have in a utopian city. And after that, so one of these elements were equality, freedom, love, and justice, which I think is very important to analyze. And then I also offered the workshop, the same workshop, in Flux Factory a few weeks ago, which is very interesting, is that the participants...
Yeah, tell me about that. This is at Flux Factory, of course, which is a...
Yes.
Just to be clear for those who don't know, it's a nonprofit space.
Yeah,
tell me a little bit about what's happening. Is it a version of those workshops that are happening there?
Yeah, so, yes, it's in Queens. So most of the people came from the shelter that is a corner away from Flux Factory. Flux Factory is a nonprofit organization for arts and culture. So all the people that came for this workshop are Black. So what they say that was important for them is like all the opposite to the people in Denmark. They say they're more... It is very important to have basic needs, which is healthcare, housing, food. But also what they dream with is, of course, housing, love, freedom, unity, and they all have faith. They all believe in God. So this is very important because I think that at the end, that's what everybody is hoping for, to have a better life.
But let's compare the two. So that's interesting. So that's what's happening at Flux Factory, and you're doing these workshops, mm-hmm. and what the participants there were interested, which you're saying were largely Black, as opposed to
mm-hmm.
the European workshops. What was similar? You said what we all want is what exactly? Because it sounds like it was something quite different in Queens at Flux Factory than
yeah.
what they wanted elsewhere. So how were they similar?
So in Denmark, they are aware of these racist ways that all the world is experiencing. So they know that they have a racist country because of all this immigration transition that we are experiencing. And these people who I worked with, they were in a homeless shelter, and they understand this very well, but they want equality. They don't want this kind of racism. And they actually, the place that they hang out, they have this rule that is tolerance, no racism, and freedom. So the people from Queens, from the shelter, they were saying that the fact of being black segregates them, and they were like very not enthusiastic at all, like a little pessimist, because they say that it's almost like no hope because they are black. They say that the fact of being black is very... it's a big restriction for them, and not only for black people, but for people of color. But at the same time, they have this hope, and yeah, like it could be interpreted as this utopian city, when they were drawing, both of them drew hearts and like people holding hands, and these kind of symbols are very meaningful. So yes,
right. That's very interesting. So then, I mean, to talk a little bit more about what you're going to be learning at school, what you're beginning. How do you imagine that will impact your curating, or do you imagine this workshops and what you're doing now will continue, or are there other projects that you want to do that might relate to what you're learning?
So I'm interested in Latin America. Me being in New York opens a lot of doors. So this is a very diverse city, and I have the chance to explore other cultures and other interests. So yes, it is related to what I want to study at school. I consider myself as a curator who has a social practice focus. So this workshop, I don't know if I'm going, I was thinking that maybe I could include it as part of my thesis, but I'm not sure since I'm in my first semester. But I do want to put all these maps, because every workshop will end up in a map that will be intervened or interpreted by artists. And after that, I want to make like some kind of big network with other curators and artists that are working on similar projects, and later on making an exhibition. So that's like the final stage of this particular project.
So tell me a little bit about that. I like the dream of it sounds like this big curatorial dream, but creating a network with other artists and other curators who do similar projects. What would that look like a little bit? What does that mean? Can you tell me a little bit about how that could come together? Because that sounds exciting, about artists and curators collaborating. What would the curators do in this ideal vision, and what would the artists do? How would they work together?
Yes, so I've met other curators whose work is in social practice and like working with, like, it could be either with education or, like, for example, my background is in architecture, so there are other collectives like Recetas Urbanas or Control Z. These two collectives are in Spain. And they create these projects through self-construction. I'm sure there are more around the world. That will be like another stage of my research project. So it will be very important to map these people or this collective to see their strategies, how they apply them, how they work in order to collaborate with each other, because I think that's very important, especially in this time.
Yes, absolutely, yeah. And let's talk a little bit about kind of, because that's a different sort of collaboration, right? There's the traditional mm-hmm. model of curators mounting shows, coming up with a theme, and then choosing different artists to work with in that show. This model sounds a little bit different, right? Or isn't it? It sounds like the artists have a slightly different role in how you imagine this coming together.
Yes, so I'm not sure, because that's like, just as you say, is my dream. I think that I've always dreamed with this project since I started being aware of my hometown and all this. Well, where I am from is a very specific place where immigration is a transition phenomenon. So I always thought that if we all, like, put all our forces together, we can inspire the whole world. I know it is a very utopian idea, but also I've met other curators who think the same way and who are not working in museums or galleries, but that work with communities, in the streets, in public spaces. And I think that if we share our experience, we can put together a great show and probably an itinerary exhibition somehow.
That's very interesting. So, I mean, you're talking about art then as, when we talk about working with communities and, you know, developing projects with communities, it's a socially engaged form of art, isn't it? I know there's plenty of these days, but still, it's a minority. Most art isn't, that I know of, or artists that I talk to, isn't socially engaged. People are, perhaps mm-hmm. their ideas are social or political or aesthetic, but they end up being mm-hmm. objects or installations. You sound like you're not talking about that. You're talking about something that impacts the community directly, that has a, you know, if I can say it, a strong use value.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so what I've seen is that often people think of social engagement projects, and they bring prestigious artists or relevant artists to the communities to teach a workshop. But what I'm interested in is to actually learn from these communities, to be part of them, because it is very difficult to be accepted in these communities, especially when they are vulnerable. It's very difficult since you are a stranger, right? But if you are kind of immersed there and you try to learn from there, if you listen and dialogue with them, that's another kind of production. So that's what I am interested in, to see what they are doing, if they create their own art craft because they don't have a house. Of course, they have to survive, so they will make their own furniture with whatever they find. That's why I'm interested in sustainability too, because I've seen how people from the periphery build their own furniture, and it's like actually beautiful, you know, it has this kind of aesthetic that is not found anywhere else.
So this is exciting. What you're building now, and you know, that's a distinction, I think, in kind of socially engaged work that you're doing. That's kind of fascinating. So the artists that you're bringing in, as you're saying, aren't kind of well-known artists that are then teaching something to the community. You're bringing together a lot of artists that aren't known, I would imagine. Is that correct?
Yes. So usually artists who work with me in this kind of project are the ones that get excited about it, who are willing to learn from other communities and to work with them instead of bringing their own projects. And Yes, it's usually people who is engaged with vulnerable territories who are. What is interesting is that most of them have worked in education and they do research as well. So that brings another kind of understanding of the context.
Yeah, that makes sense. And so what do you see as, is there an artist or an interaction and an event that happened that you want to mention that was specifically successful? You talked about the communities in Queens. Is there any other kind of example you want to give of an artist working with the community in the way you're imagining and discussing that you want to mention that was memorable for some reason?
Okay, yes. So Recetas Urbanas is a Spanish collective that works through self-construction. It's led by Santiago Cirujeda. And they have publications and they go to communities to build whatever they need. It could be from a cultural center to probably a house. So what they do is that they do it for a very low cost, and sometimes they recycle materials and they ask people to collaborate and actually build their houses by themselves. So they also have publications, and they have participated in exhibitions, and they approach many of their projects through political issues as well. And I think that's very interesting. And they have worked for many years, probably like more than 15 years. So that's probably one of the examples or models that I could follow. Mm-hmm. But I know there's more around the world.
That's exciting. And if, how do you, I mean, I think the last question before I ask you about what you're reading is, mm-hmm. how do you find artists, or how do artists get in touch with you if they're interested in this kind of work? Do artists reach out to you, or how does that work? Or do you tend to look for artists in other places?
Here is, it's being by talking, you know, like these dialogues that you randomly have. I have met, for example, Julie and Julia, who are from Ukraine, and they are interested in this kind of project. So we offered the workshop in collaboration, and it was because we were both interested in the same practice. But I think that it's been more randomly, and because we believe in the same thing.
Yeah, that makes sense. And let me ask you the last question. What are you
yes.
reading at the moment? I'm always curious what everyone's reading.
Well, right now I'm very focused on my studies. So the last paper that I worked on was about department stores, which is like the opposite of my project. And it's a book named Franz Jourdain and the Samaritan. And sorry for the pronunciation. It's in French. And the book is by Meredith Clausen.
And it's about department stores? What does that mean?
It's about department stores. Yes. It's from the late 19th century, because the class is from architecture and urban form in Paris, from Husbert to Guy Debord. So it's like the evolution in department stores around the world in Paris, and the impact in capitalism and all this movement that we have until now.
And how will that impact your curatorial research, that particular book?
Well, I'm aware of this capitalist phenomenon and how we are pursuing always different kind of dreams. In this case, it's always the working class, right? Like working class and these structures of classes that we all have in our countries. So I think that's very important. And yeah, I'm not very happy about it, but it's a fact. I'm more a utopian person.
You're not very happy about the fact that You mean of the inequality that exists, or,
yes,
or having to read that book?
Yes. No, I love the book. It's very interesting, and I love architecture, but I'm not so happy about all these differences in social classes and why you need to have this desired object to appear, to have more or less or whatever.
Emmanuel, I want to thank you so much for talking with me today. It's really been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.